First, the technology and gaming industry has been criticized over the years for how it represents and treats and hires or doesn't hire women. In 2014, the Gamergate controversy showed the general public how hostile things can get for women who make games and play them. But there are women gamers and programmers who have thrived in the industry and made their mark on it. A lot of them have a common origin story. They were part of the fantasy pet website Neopets as girls. The site was really popular in the 2000s, and it may have served as a gateway for girls to carve out their own positive space on the internet. Nina Freeman was part of the Neopets digital universe. Now she's a programmer and game designer at the independent video game company Fulbright. She was named an influential video game figure by Forbes. Our producer Halima Shah talked to her about how Neopets influenced her and other women in the industry.
So Neopets seems like a really important part of this story. It was a website that took place in the virtual world of Neopia. Your main objective was to take care of virtual animals, which were Neopets. What significance at the time did this game hold for its users, especially for girls?
So for me, as someone who was already pretty involved with like making fandom websites and stuff, Neopets was a space where you had these guilds, which were spaces where you could like kind of customize your page that I think people could like join up with you as a group, sort of like a web ring or a fan listing or something. And I think it kind of brought a lot of young women together who were into like customizing their pages, almost like LiveJournal, but in these guild forums. And I remember finding a lot of like graphic sites run by teen girls my age at the time that were like, we'll make like your header image with whatever movie art you want, or like they would have like these free templates where it was like, you know, a photoshopped Pokemon image as the header and like a funny tiled background with Pokeballs on it or whatever, and they would be like, oh, you can download this and use it on your guild, and there was like whole communities around stuff like that. So I think Neopets really brought a lot of teen girls together because of that, like, interest in, you know, customizing these guilds and also just, like, playing all the fun mini games on the Neopets site and being just in general, like, a pretty, like, positive and fun and cute space where, like, you know, people of that age group could kind of come together and hang out. And it was a good place to, like, you know, get your feet wet making these guild layouts and stuff. And I know a lot of girls went on to, like, make their own websites after that, but Neopets was like, I think, a good starting point for a lot of people.
That was foundational, not just for you, but it seems like for other people too. I even crowdsourced this on Facebook. I posted it on Facebook and asked my friends, like, how big of a deal was this to you? And I'm not kidding. I think that's one of my posts that got the most engagement. And
really? That's awesome.
It was crazy. And I think so many people share these stories like, well, it taught me how to code. I learned about saving money and things like that. What groundwork did it lay for people who kind of eventually made their way into the tech business or into the digital sphere?
Yeah, it's cool to have been able, like, you know, sometimes we'll be chatting with other people my age and we'll be like, oh, how did we get into all this stuff? And a lot of it really did, you know, for many people start with having access to the internet during childhood and just having access to games and being passionate about them from a young age and just kind of having that there as like a sort of knowledge that you come with into adulthood and are like, oh, this is something that kind of, I think, culturally often is thought of as for kids, like for games, for example, but, you know, they're adults who make them and they're not all for kids. Like, they can be more artistic, or they can be more like an e-sport, or they can be more like this. And I think that as this generation that grew up on the internet gets older, like, I think we'll see more interesting games and more interesting tech stuff just because we've been so immersed in it since a young age that I think, you know, a lot of people of that generation think about it in a really interesting way.
And you have a game that really looks back at this time too. You've created LostMemories.net, which is about teen girls on the internet and blogging in 2004. Why did you want to make a game about that experience?
So I made it for the Manchester International Festival, which is a big commissioned art festival. And for them, yeah, I pitched this idea originally. I was like, oh, I really want to make a game about, like, I remember being in chat rooms as a tween, like, literally going into AOL chat rooms with, like, total strangers and just, like, chatting with them because I was curious. I just remembered this one actual online friend, like, my first online friend I ever made, and I met her through, like, fandom website making. I remember she had an amazing Sailor Moon fan site. and her and I chatted a lot on AIM, and I would, like, kind of tell her about my school life and what boys I liked and, like, what my drama was. So, yeah, I wanted to make a period piece really focusing in on my relationship with her and what it was like and what it was like making websites back then. That was a really special moment in my life, I think.
I think that when we talk about the internet in the 2000s, and especially Neopets, mm-hmm. it feels a little nostalgic. It almost feels a little bit idyllic. Yeah. You know, it was before Gamergate. It was before this time mm-hmm. when the general public became so conscious of the death and the rape threats and the intimidation mm-hmm. that women can face on the internet. Was the mm-hmm. internet a less complicated place back then, or did we just not know better?
Yeah, when I was doing, like, the fandom website stuff, you know, I was mostly just making friends, and it was all, like, very positive. And I was so young that I didn't really have any, you know, context for kind of the negative stuff. But when I was around the same age, I started playing Final Fantasy Online and definitely, you know, ran into, at that age, like, boys in that online game being like, you can't be a girl, or, like, girls don't play games, what are you doing? So that kind of stuff was definitely already happening. I think maybe I ran into it less on, like, Neopets and fandom sites because it was more dominated by younger women or, like, maybe boys who weren't really thinking like that yet or who hopefully never started thinking like that. And it was, I think, probably less talked about because there wasn't as much of, like, a Twitter or something where information can just be disseminated so quickly.
I'm talking to Nina Freeman. She's a programmer and game designer, and we're looking at girls and women in the digital gaming industry. And it's really interesting to hear you talk about gaming as an art form, because I think right now, a lot of times when you look at the news and you hear people talk about gaming, a lot of times it's the anxieties of parents who are mm-hmm. trying to figure out how much screen time should I let my kid have and how much mm-hmm. time should I allow them to spend on the internet. Is this ultimately a good or a bad force? How do you think about gaming as a person who makes them? Is it really mm-hmm. that simple of a good or bad question, or is there more to it?
I guess in the broadest sense, obviously everything in moderation, but also I think we do have a weird cultural stigma around video games, which at times can be deserved. Like, you know, there's a lot of violence in games, and, like, there's also violence in movies and violence in TV, and often it's worse than a lot of video games. But I think a lot of people are kind of scared off by the interactive aspects. But I still think, like, games can be so great for helping people really, like, get into a mindset and show them something by doing. You know, like, a lot of people really learn well by, like, doing something rather than just being told it. I think games are really good for that kind of thing. So I think ultimately, like, I really think games are positive in general. It's just there's so many different kinds of games that it's like you do need to kind of curate what you actually want out of games.
What would you like to see happen to make gaming culture maybe more accessible to people, maybe if they haven't always been immersed in that scene?
Yeah, I think about this because, like, it's funny because I came into the games industry without a lot of experience playing some of the more, like, classic or more popular games. I really have always been more into, like, some pretty niche stuff. So I know how it feels. And I know at Fulbright, which is the studio I work at out here in Oregon, like, we talk a lot about how we want our games to be accessible to a lot of different people because you can really do that through design. Like, I think many games are designed with expectations that the player knows a lot about, like, how the game should be played, what the controls are ahead of time, because they're assuming that that person has played many video games before, which is often the case because of that kind of thing, I think. So I think it's good, and I think it's happening more and more that, like, studios like us are thinking more about, like, players who don't have those assumptions about, like, how, for example, like, a first-person shooter controls, and that, like, we really want to make games that have more mechanics that really you can pick up without any assumptions about what's going on. I think we're interested in making more human-oriented games like that that don't have a bunch of assumptions about what the player knows coming in. And I think that can be a good way for designers and developers to make games that are more accessible to new people who haven't played much of this stuff before.
Nina, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Nina Freeman talking to producer Halima Shah about how women and girls carved out their own space in gaming culture and the technology industry. Nina's a programmer and game designer at Fulbright, an independent video game company.